Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Trana, back for another week. Thanks so much for listening, downloading. Please, if you haven't subscribed, do that. Rate, review. It all helps tremendously. There was so much sports media news in the past week. Bob Costas and his story there with NBC and the NFL coming out. The rating, the debut of the AAF and their rating with CBS beating the ABC NBA game Saturday night. Charles Woodson leaving ESPN's NFL pregame show. Still some fallout from Adnan Virk. The success of ESPN Plus so far. And the man coming on, John Oran from Sports Business Journal. He broke the story about the Thanksgiving games being Bears, Lions, and Dolphins, Cowboys. If you listen to this podcast, John gives you a little news and tells you what the Thursday night Thanksgiving game will be. Save that for the SI Media Podcast. We appreciate that. So when you listen to this edition, John Oran from Sports Business Journal will tip you off on the NFL matchup you'll see Thanksgiving night. So we get into all that and much more. We took some user, listener, reader questions, I guess you can say, because I put them on Twitter. I asked for questions on Twitter and people sent them in. So we answer those in the podcast as well. And make sure you check out past editions in the archive. Andrew Marchand last week. And Steve Carell 2 weeks ago, Bill Walton, who ate a lit cupcake on the air this week, is in the archives from 3 weeks ago. So check it all out. And now let's get this edition, an interview with John Oran of Sports Business Journal, underway right now. All right, joining me now, so much media news. I had to bring on John Oran from Sports Business Journal. Covers it all, broke some good little stories this week that we'll get into. John, how are you?
Doing great, Jimmy. Thanks for having me, man.
My pleasure. Like I said, this was a week to have you on because there's been a lot of sports media news coming out. You broke a couple of things. Let me start with Bob Costas because I wrote about that in Monday's Train of Thoughts. I thought ESPN did a really, really good job with the piece. I think I know I took Costas to task a little bit, which I don't think many media people like to do. But obviously, it's the NFL and NBC here who come out poorly. I just think, you know, Bob should have never taken the Sunday night gig. He made his feelings clear about the NFL way before he took that job. What did you think of the ESPN story and winners and losers in the fallout?
To be honest, I'm not sure if anybody comes across looking all that good, Jimmy. Certainly, the NFL... they came out with a statement that was just sort of like a bizarre statement. Like, you know, we're not making our commissioner available to anybody. I mean, they could have just kind of said, look, we never got a request in and we didn't care one way or another if Costas was going to be out there. NBC, you know, which is, you know, has NBC News associated with it. You know, the fact that they couldn't handle a Bob Costas giving a head trauma halftime essay, you know, we're a little bit nervous about having him host the Super Bowl. You know, that doesn't, if that had happened at ESPN, there would be this similar sort of, you know, holy hell, what's going on type of thing.
Right.
And then just sort of the angst that Costas felt he regretted opening up and talking about this. And he feels a lot of angst, I think, about, making the story said this perfectly. He a lot of angst about making, you know, millions, making his fortune off the NFL,
right?
But just sort of like hating himself for it and hating the fact that he was propping up a sport that he thinks causes, you know, head trauma and a lot of other problems.
Well,
so I think he came across a little bit whiny here and there. Mm-hmm. Like why is he picking now to do it?
Right.
But I don't think anybody other than outside the lines really came across, you know, looking great. I would say the author's name, but I never pronounced Mark's last name
right.
correctly. So I apologize now, Mark, if you're listening.
I don't mind sort of Bob coming out now with the truth. I mean, it is a little weird to me that he did go out of his way, it seems like, for a year to say everything was amicable, no issues, just, you know, they parted ways and that was it. And then he came out. Well, I guess he was doing interviews for a while with ESPN. With Outside the Lines, and then it all came out on Sunday. But again, in that ESPN story, they say that Bob asked off the NFL coverage in 93, I believe it was, when the NBC had the daytime package. Then they get the Sunday night package. Dick Ebersol asks him to do it. And Bob says, well, I wanted to be a good trooper. So I said, yes. But he had all these issues with the NFL at the time. So, like, yes, the fan in me, just as, you know, Jimmy Train is a sports fan. Yes, I think Roger Goodell's the worst. I think the NFL are bullies, and I think they're very shady. But from a practical business standpoint, I can understand why they don't want Bob Costas going on halftime of a Sunday night game and saying, well, this is a death sport and everyone's brains get scrambled. Okay, here we go. Let's go. Second half. Steelers and Dolphins coming up after this break. I mean, it is an unrealistic expectation from Costas, in my opinion.
I don't think he actually went that far. And the one thing about Bob is he is a company man. NBC paid a ton of money to bring on Sunday Night Football. It was a big bet. He's the face of NBC. And so, yeah, he went and did it. And he didn't do it as a play-by-play guy or really even as a studio host. He just sort of like hosted the halftime and gave an essay, which more often than not, by a huge percentage, dealt with the play on the field or football. But every now and then he got into gun control. I know he talked about the Redskins once. It really irritated people in the market that I live in.
Right.
So he did take on a lot of the issues that, went outside of the field that would rankle the league.
It just came across to me as Bob wanted his cake and wanted to eat it too. He wanted to work on Sunday Night Football and then bash the NFL. It's a tough spot. Can't really do that, no matter who you are.
Let me say, like most journalists, I'm a huge fan of Bob Costas,
right.
And I think that his retirement is there's nobody else there. I mean, the story talked about him over in Sochi, you know, talking about the Russian government's, you know, harsh actions with human rights or gay rights. I mean, can you imagine Mike Tirico doing that? I mean, Mike Tirico replaced Costas on that. That's not in what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Or can you imagine, Joe Buck or Jim Nantz going against his boss's wishes and like asking David Stern about like Michael Jordan's gambling rumors, you know, which Costas did back in 93. I think with Bob Costas, he was such a unique broadcaster, and I'm not sure if we'll never see his likes again. But I don't think that we see his likes currently in sports TV, and I think that's a shame.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a different take on Costas, but I want to get into that. Listen, he's great at what he does. No one can dispute that.
No, I mean, I'm sure. I have a lot of friends that find him to be pompous and that don't want to hear
right.
that stuff. They're watching as an escape, and they want to see sports.
I
got to say, as a reporter, I loved what he did.
I don't mind hearing it. I think maybe the tone of, I'm smarter than you. Let me educate you. And this is how it is. You know, that's what turned me off. But I will say this. Now, here's where the NFL, to me, in this story, is just pathetic. Costas gets booted off the Super Bowl coverage in 2018 and then comes up with this idea of, let me interview Goodell. This way it doesn't look like I got kicked off and there's not this swirling controversy about my role in the pregame show. Okay, now, yes, maybe a little self-serving, but not the worst idea in the world. The NFL comes back with, well, Goodell never does interviews on pregame shows at the Super Bowl. So another one who wants it both ways. I mean, NBC is paying billions and billions of dollars for the rights, for NFL rights. You can't give Roger Goodell for 10 minutes for an interview of your own league? They're just hiding him. It's absurd.
You know, I've covered business like my whole career. I've never seen really anything like what happens in sports television where you have, the whole last year we were writing about ESPN's relationship with the NFL. ESPN pays $2 billion a year to the NFL and still has to kowtow to them. Usually when you pay somebody that much money, the people that get the money have to kowtow back to you.
Right.
But the NFL is so popular, and there are so many examples of what happened to NBC when they lost the NFL, and to CBS when they lost the NFL, and to Fox when they got the NFL,
right.
that just make them have such a heavy hand and an iron fist that they hold over all the networks. It's really unique to sports media, I think.
I mean, every network that airs the NFL this year came out and said they're not going to mention sports gambling and then took the hit and took the fall and said it was their decision. I don't believe it for a second. I believe the NFL told them don't mention it, because if the NFL didn't tell all the networks not to mention it, one of these networks would have been mentioning point spreads and over-unders. There's no doubt about it. So it's not that they listen to the NFL. It's that they listen to the NFL's orders and then cover up for the NFL. That's what I can't get over.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the NFL told them with regards to gambling, but I do know all the networks have said that. Right. They're starting to dip their toe in a little bit more, but I'm not sure what happened in terms of that.
What a coincidence that every network decided not to cover it. What a coincidence.
I feel like I'm getting into hot water. You made me stutter there, Jimmy.
That's okay.
Nice job.
I said that. No one else.
good.
Let's go to, I don't know if I want to do Adnan Virk or the AAF. Let's go to the AAF real quick.
Yeah, Adnan Virk, that feels like last week with the type of week we're having, right?
Yes, that was...
The last year, I mean.
It does. On the AAF, Alliance of American Football, terrible league name, by the way, they got a nice rating Saturday night. I guess it outrated... Well, here's what I find funny. I don't know if you want to comment on this. I'll comment it, and they can call me if they have an issue. But I love how it comes out that the AAF on Saturday night on CBS beat the NBA game on ABC, and then the ESPN PR department basically is doing cartwheels to let people know that the rating was off by like 0.1. I mean, really? Are you that sensitive that your rating was misrepresented by 0.1? You got to have better.
And then the final numbers came in, and the final numbers did show that the AAF had more viewers than the NBA game. Yeah.
So but that's the only game for the AAF that's going to be on CBS, correct? Aren't all the games going to be CBS Network and NFL Network now going forward?
The championship game is going to be on CBS, and TNT is going to do one on All-Star Saturday night and one other, I think, playoff game. But by and large, you're right, CBS Sports Network and NFL Network.
Right, so that number is not going to be happening again. What did you make of the number?
They're not going to get close to that again.
Right. What did you make?
I thought it was a good number. I think what was unique about that number, Jimmy, is that, like, I think that they learned from the XFL way back when, which, you know, posted a gigantic number. What was it, like a
nine?
Off the top of my head, it was like a nine.
Yeah, 9.4 or something.
And then just started going down. There was really relatively little promotion pushing this first game.
Right.
I think they just kind of like, I think they're content to start, you know, relatively slowly and really build up the app and build up a lot of the engagement that comes around some of their digital play. And the whole idea of TV ratings and attendance, they think that if the league really starts to build up and go, that will follow, but they want to make sure. And I think compared to the first XFL game or the first couple, the play on the field on Saturday, I thought was much better than I was expecting.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised you just did it yourself. I'm surprised how many people keep bringing back that XFL debut, because I feel like that was as much a spectacle to see what Vince McMahon was. That wasn't about the football. That was, I think, a lot of wrestling fans tuning in to see what Vince had up his sleeve, even non-wrestling fans. I mean, I remember they had, you know, the Monday Night Raw announce team, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler calling the games. The Rock came out and gave a pregame speech on that first game, if I'm not mistaken, on the field. How could you not see what Vince, you know, how could you not check in to see what Vince McMahon, who is the ultimate, you know, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus creator, you had to tune in to see what he can do. So I think the comparisons a little unfair for the AAF to that, because that was a complete spectacle, and because of
it is.
Yeah.
But like also, if you recall it, you didn't know what was going to happen. I half expected the defensive end to go with the folding chair at the quarterback.
Right.
You know the way they were marketing this thing, and what you ended up seeing instead, like after Vince McMahon and after The Rock, and it was actually Matt Bass-Gurgin was doing play by play on the very first one before he got booted to sort of the B games.
Right,
but. You know, once all of that ended and you were just stuck with the football on the field, the football really stunk. The football was like really,
right.
I mean, those were teams that wouldn't have beaten major college teams, I think. But AAF, I think it's an open question. I mean, do you think Alabama would beat any one of those teams? I think it could be a good game.
Right. That's intriguing. And listen, CBS is giving it credibility. They're using real announcers, you know, Spiro Dittus, Gary Danielson, Adam Archuleta, all doing the games, and there's betting lines, which always helps, and especially in this day and age. You know, it's funny, you brought up, you know, what Vince was going to do, and you said the quality play stunk and was terrible. And then once people realized that, and the ratings, I don't think there's ever been any show in the history of television that had a ratings plummet like the XFL. And then Vince obviously got desperate. And then I remember there was one game where they were having cameras in the cheerleaders' locker room. So it's, you know, leave it to Vince.
And they marketed that all week,
oh,
as
yeah.
I recall, right?
Yeah, so leave it to Vince. So What's interesting to me about the AFF is that when this XFL reboot does come, which is supposed to be a much more serious version than the first go around, now you're really, I think the XFL is going to be dead on arrival just because people are not going to take two non-NFL leagues in the offseason.
Yeah, they have really serious-minded people running the league. You know, Oliver Luck, Andrew Luck's dad, is sort of the commissioner of the league, and he comes from the NCAA background. They're making a lot of sort of strategic hires, and if the AAF didn't exist, I'd be taking a look at the XFL as somebody like, wow, this is going to be really interesting.
Right
now, just kind of seeing how these two operate. But I got a question for you. I know you're a big gambler. Did you gamble on the AAF?
I did not gamble
on that game.
I did not. I drew the line somewhere.
I was about to get worried for you.
Maybe in week two after I scout the teams, but certainly not in week one. That's for sure. Not in week one. It was. Listen, I mean, I think it's perfect content for the CBS Sports Network and the NFL Network in the offseason. There's nothing. I don't see the downside of them airing those games.
No. In fact, the thing that really surprised me with this is the way these networks are sort of falling over themselves to get this content. I mean, getting deals with TNT and Bleacher, getting deals with NFL Network,
right,
having CBS, a broadcast channel, put it on, and the XFL is sitting on deals that are going to see its games on ABC, the broadcast network, and Fox, the broadcast network. I mean, these are
crazy,
major deals that a lot of established leagues, like, you know, Pro Lacrosse League, would love to have. The MLS would kill to be on broadcast as much as either of these two leagues are. I mean, it's pretty impressive, I think.
The XFL on ESPN is crazy to me. Now, what's your takeaway from it beating the NBA? Just people turning it? The NBA ratings have been down this year, I guess. I chalk it up to LeBron going out west and losing a lot of that power on the 8 o'clock TNT ESPN game. Now he's playing at 10:30 at night. Do you think the NBA ratings are a problem for the league yet, or wait till the playoffs? What do you make of the NBA situation right now?
The TNT Thursday night package, which really depended on LeBron in the early window to sort of lead into the league window, has been dinged, you know, pretty good. I think the ABC package is doing okay, and I think ESPN's not down significantly. So
right.
If I'm the NBA, it's you're taking a look at it, but I don't think it's really cause for major upheaval or shakeup.
Right.
And let's wait and see what the storylines are going into the playoffs.
The ESPN Saturday night, though, I think they've only had two or three games, right? If I'm not mistaken.
That was a stat that ESPN put in the back of my head, but you're right. There are only a couple.
Yeah. Speaking of ESPN, I'm intrigued by their success so far with ESPN Plus. They've done it the right way. They have live events, UFC, soccer. And I think they said last week 2.5 million subscribers. Can you sort of explain for us how big that is for their app that's $5 a month?
$5 a month, and they have more subscribers than the WWE Network, which launched a while ago, which, several years ago, which you might expect. I mean, the thing about...
One thing I'll just say quickly, the WWE Network is $10 a month. You know, that could be a factor in the price difference there.
And if you have to be a WWE fan. So
right,
like,
of course.
With ESPN Plus, if you're a soccer fan, you're getting it. If you're a combat sports fan, UFC or boxing, you're getting it.
Right.
If you're a small college basketball fan, you know, you're getting it. So they're trying to hit a whole bunch of different people in order to get it. The big question that I have, and nobody really outside of ESPN knows this yet, is what does their subscriber base have to get to in order to start making a profit? Because if they do start making a profit on this, and I'm not sure what it is, mm-hmm. I've seen everywhere from like 5 million to 7 million. So, you know, they're well on their way to get that. But once they start making a profit on it, it's going to, you know, it's a pretty good way to start for those guys.
I get nervous about what else is going to end up on there. You know, it's not affecting me because I'm not a soccer guy. I'm not a UFC guy, but I feel like I already pay for too much stuff, and then if they put good college football games on there or an MLB, I don't think MLB will ever happen, but If any good exclusive stuff gets on there, I'm going to have to fork over the cash. I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, I could see an MLB game getting up there. I mean, I know you're a Yankee fan in New York, so you're going to see all the Yankee games right. that you want. But if you're a Yankee fan, say, in Seattle, you know, I bet you they're going to have a couple of games that you might be able to get nationally that are only going to be on ESPN+. I mean, that's going to be a deal that they're going to have to sign with baseball that they haven't already. But I'd be shocked if baseball's not – I mean, baseball did the deal with Facebook, for goodness sakes, for afternoon programming. I could see them doing a similar type of deal with the small package games for Plus.
I don't know which one is – what would be worse, the – I'd rather pay. I guess I'd rather pay to watch a baseball game on ESPN Plus than watch it for free on Facebook. But that's just me.
I'll take the Facebook because the comments always make me laugh.
Oh god! it's
the worst of America coming out in MLB.
It's my mission in life to never read a Facebook comment. Do you have, like you mentioned, the Adnan Virk thing was last week, and it was a big story last week. People were definitely interested in that story. I was thinking all week about if that was even a bigger name at ESPN who did that, how big the story would be, because it got a ton of play with Adnan Virk. Is there anything further? I mean, I guess, is he not going to speak or give his side of the story until this gets to court? I would assume he can't really speak if he's going to file a lawsuit.
I don't know. I haven't actually reached out to him on this. I would wait to see the process go through, see what ESPN's going to do. You can bet if ESPN's going to pay out the contract that there's going to be some sort of silence fee to go along with that. I don't expect to hear from him anytime soon. But if he wants to get his career back up and running, it's going to be something that I think he's going to have to address at some point in terms of what happened and his side of the story, which is getting out in the press a lot, but you want to hear it from him.
Have you heard anything about anyone reaching out to him in terms of a job, MLB Network or DAZN? I guess that's how you say it. I always say DAZN, DAZN, because they're going to have an MLB show. Do we know if there are any feelers out, or did this story, do you think the accusations against Virk of leaking the information to Awful Net, which I guess isn't even an accusation. I guess it's pretty much true. I guess his issue is that he was fired instead of suspended, which makes you think he's admitting it. Do you think that's hurt him in terms of his future, or will other companies overlook that?
I think companies would overlook it. I think what he has going in his favor is that he's with CAA, and CAA, like, I'm not sure whether there have been any feelers or not about him specifically, mm-hmm. but I do know CAA and Nick Khan and that whole group, they talk to everybody.
Right.
So he's going to be part of whoever they talk to. He is a good talent. And, you know, you mentioned the DAZN Whip Around show. I could see Skipper. He has a very close relationship with the guys at CAA. I see Fox. They have a very close relationship with the guys at CAA. I mean, I could easily see him landing at one of those two places. And those two places happen to have the baseball contract.
Right. And FS1 has that Whip Around show as well. So he can do that. Do you chalk this up to just Jimmy Pitaro, the relatively new president of ESPN, just sort of tightening up the ship and cleaning things up? It does sound like, I know a lot of media people are outraged that they fired him, and I'm always, as someone who has been laid off, I hate seeing that. I think that's like the ultimate last resort. But I guess what played a role in it is not just that he leaked the information, but they went with him. ESPN went to him knowing he had leaked it, and then he denied it. And I guess maybe that played a role in it, which you sort of then, I mean, you see ESPN side maybe a little bit in this. But what does this say about Jimmy Pitaro?
You know, I think that my read on the situation is that he was the wrong person at the wrong time, mm-hmm. and they nabbed him and they wanted to make a statement, the ESPN and Jimmy Pitaro did. I mean, if you think about Jimmy Pitaro's first sort of meeting in Bristol, you know, he brought everybody in Bristol together and somebody recorded that meeting for the Big Lead.
Right.
And I think it was Ryan Glass-Bigel. I can tell you internally that irritated just everybody in the executive ranks who've been consistently irritated by the amount of leaking that's been coming out of ESPN. So Adnan Virk just happened to be the guy that the next guy that they sort of caught in terms of doing that, and then they just wanted to make a statement. That's sort of how I read what happened with that. Right. I don't think it's much more than that, and I think that this was a message. I can tell you, it's a message that has gotten around to the rest of the talent over there. I mean, they'll still talk, but the idea of the talent actually sort of putting their neck out and trying to get added information is something that's probably not going to happen as regularly as it did in the past.
Well, right after they ESPN fired Adnan Verk because he was leaking information, and that story was broken by Andrew Marchand, and we covered it on last week's SI Media podcast. Someone leaks to Andrew Marchand that Charles Woodson is out on the ESPN NFL pregame show, Sunday Countdown.
So, amazing how that works, right?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So much for those leaks.
and look, the leaks are still going to happen. I have yet to meet a company, run across a company that has no leaks. Leaks
right,
happen.
Right.
But I think that people are going to be much more discerning in who they leak to and how they leak information.
And the guy who broke the story about someone getting fired for leaking then breaks the story that Charles Woodson is out. Now, a couple of things on the Woodson thing. Well, first of all, let me take, I know Andrew Marchand doesn't write the headline, so I'm not going to take him to test, but I mean, the New York Post saying big shakeup at Sunday Countdown. Well, Charles Woodson left. That's not exactly a big shakeup yet. Do you see a big shakeup happening? Will there be other moves, or do you think it's just a matter of them finding someone to replace Charles Woodson, or do you expect more changes on the ESPN Sunday Countdown show?
The Sunday Countdown show always goes through a series of changes. I wouldn't be surprised if there was more than just Charles Woodson to be changed out, but I think that is sort of part and parcel with that show. That show has had a lot of upheaval over the past couple of years, over the past, like, you know, how long? 5-6 years, it seems.
Yeah.
They do a reset.
Ever since they broke up the Boomer and Tom Jackson thing, it sort of has been a cast of many. Before
and
I get to
Boomer's been getting back a lot more recently. So, I mean, could he see an increased role? Would that be considered a shakeup? I mean, that's something that I wouldn't be too surprised at seeing.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I think he would want to do it. I think they'd want him to do it. So I could see that happening. Before I get to the next topic, let me just take a little break here, John, just to tell the SI Media Podcast listeners about this episode being sponsored by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get things started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as the 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notification for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of the SI Media Podcast a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. How do you get that? Sign up at simedia.robinhood.com. That's simedia.robinhood.com. All right, let's get back to John Oran on the SI Media Podcast. Let's get to the you had some news on the Thanksgiving games for the NFL. You said it's going to be Bears, Lions, and Dolphins, Cowboys. And there was also a report, I think it was by you, correct me if I'm wrong, that the NFL is considering not doing the defending champion Patriots on that opening Thursday night game, and it might be Bears, Packers. So it seems like we're going to get a lot of Bears this season in the NFL, huh?
Going to get a lot more Bears than we got in the past. I mean, one of the reasons that TV executives think that the ratings were up this year is because the Bears were a lot better than they had been in the past, and the whole Chicago market bought into them. And
right.
The Bears ratings in particular went up. So I think that you're going to see a lot more Bears. I think the Chiefs are a proven ratings getter based on last year. People still like the Rams despite their Super Bowl performance. So I think you're going to see a lot more of the Rams And of course, he can just throw in Dallas and Pittsburgh and New England and the Packers, or, you know, to fill in on that.
What's the mindset of not doing the Patriots on that opening night? What's the NFL thinking there?
So the NFL, this is the 100th season of NFL football. And so they thought that it would be the way to kick it off is to have the oldest rivalry. And that's the Bears-Packers.
Gotcha.
And have it in Soldier Field. And they would end up taking the Super Bowl champion and put them on Sunday night and have them play probably the Giants or somebody like that. But the idea is that they really want to do something. They really want to blow out this 100th celebration, and they think the way to do it is with that game.
And why are they going to give us the Dolphins on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys? That is a brutal game. Brutal.
Who knows? I mean, it could end up being good. So there are two schools of thought here. Fox has in the past really pushed for a really good Thanksgiving game because they think that it gets better ratings. CBS views Thanksgiving a little bit differently, where they think at 4 o'clock on the East Coast on Thanksgiving Day, people sit in front of the television and they watch football, period. Right. Regardless who that is, you're just used to watching Dallas at home play whatever. And so I think that you're seeing that sort of come out with this, where it's like the Dolphins are available. CBS doesn't, you know, they're so worried. They don't want to take a really good game that would be a 4 o'clock game in another window that would be a big ratings getter.
Interesting.
And so they need, there are only so many good games. And so they think that they can I don't want to say sacrifice. They think they're going to get a big rating on Thanksgiving regardless
no matter
of
what,
who
plays
in that game.
It's an interesting theory. Okay. So they figure, okay. Save the better game for something.
And by the way, it's going to work because at 4 o'clock, I'm going to watch Dallas play whoever it is, Jacksonville, Dolphins, whoever it happens to be. Right.
Everybody watches the
floor. I'm hearing it's likely to be the Dolphins.
Yeah. Do we have anything on this Thursday night, the Thanksgiving night game? That's always a good one.
Yeah, you know, I didn't actually write about this, but I have heard that Minnesota Philadelphia is one that's in play.
Okay.
Because the thing that is also interesting about this is, you know, everybody wants Dallas on their schedule. Dallas is, especially if they're a playoff team, is the best team in terms of television ratings, and Dallas can only play two Thursday games. One is always on Thanksgiving, and then it has to be the week after that because they can't have two short week games because of NFL rules.
Right.
So the likelihood is the week after Thanksgiving, you'll have a Thursday night game between the Dallas and the Eagles. That would be a Thursday night game on Fox.
Right.
So that's something to look there, but I didn't write that because it's not dead set, but I'm told that that's pretty likely.
So Vikings Eagles on that Thanksgiving night. That's a good one. That would be good.
Which is one that I would watch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good game for sure.
Yeah.
This is a weird one I'm going to throw at you. Did you happen to see hear the Jim Gray interview on, I always get it, there's EEI and then what's the other Boston station up there?
I saw the write-up on it that one of the blogs had. I forget which one.
It might have been mine because I wrote it up, and it was extremely bizarre. You have to watch the video.
It sounds weird. It sounds like if somebody in another pod asked if I knew Jimmy Tran and ever been on there, and I didn't want to admit that.
Where did that happen?
I mean, it does make me wonder, like, why he wants to downplay that sort of relationship. I would think it would help him if he wants to get more interviews or get more access to certain places.
What was bizarre was that Jim Gray was taken aback that people would be fascinated that he was friends with Oprah Winfrey. I think anyone would be fascinated if anyone is friends with Oprah Winfrey. So to be shocked that people would ask you about that, it was such a weird reaction by Jim Gray.
Or to be on a station in Boston and be surprised that people want to know why you're hanging out with Giselle.
Right.
I mean, I would imagine that would be something that I would have to address.
Yeah. I just thought of one that I didn't actually have in my head, but it just popped into my head. I heard some rumblings. I think they were on some wrestling websites that originally with Fox acquiring the WWE, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, the plan was Monday Night Raw would be on Fox. No, I'm sorry. They acquired SmackDown, and SmackDown was supposed to be on Fox. And now I'm hearing it may be FS1. Have you heard anything about that?
I've not heard that, and it would that would really shock me, because the reason they did that deal is, you know, the Fox sold all of its entertainment assets to Disney, as everybody knows. And one of the things they wanted to do with the Fox broadcast channel is to make it sort of leaner and meaner. And that means, like, they want to strip out Thursday night as football night. They want to have Friday night was going to be the wrestling night. And they wanted to fill their nights with live or live-like programming, like reality programming.
Right.
So one of the main reasons they went out to get wrestling was not to put it on FS1. It was to really anchor a night on Fox. One of the things that I've always thought, Jimmy, is that they would take they would produce an extra hour and possibly put that on FS1.
Right.
So I think that there's a possibility for FS1 to end up with a WWE package. But the idea of them taking it off of Fox broadcast, I see that as a non-starter. I haven't heard that, and it would really, really surprise me.
Yeah, I guess the ratings for Monday Night Raw have been plummeting, going down a lot. Now, Fox doesn't have Raw. They have SmackDown, and there's some speculation in the wrestling community that they're going to put it on FS1 instead of Fox. But I don't want to press you on it if you haven't done the reporting on it. But maybe something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying that that would mean that Fox executives are doing a complete 180 about why they want that WWE programming. So
yeah,
I'll make some calls on it, but I have some healthy skepticism that's the case.
Me too. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I asked people on Twitter for some questions, and I got a decent amount here, and there are a couple I think you would be way better to answer than me. So if you don't mind, I would love to throw them at you.
Cool. Just as long as it doesn't involve Oprah, I'm happy to answer.
No Oprah. I will not put you on the spot like that and then end the interview.
All right. Thanks, man.
At 2 weeks with pay, I want to know, how will the Super Bowl rating being down affect ads next year for Fox?
I don't think it will affect ads for Fox at all. Super Bowl ratings are down, but the fact that they went under 100 million viewers for the first time in a decade is something that is not a huge concern, but should be a little bit of a concern. You know, you want to see where that goes. I think that there are reasons for that happening. But 98 million viewers is so far above the second place show on US TV.
Right.
And it's advertisers, they don't have a place to go where they get a mass audience like that. So the idea that the ad rates are going to come down, I think, is a folly. They're going to remain over $5 million for a 30-second spot, I'm certain, going into next year.
You know, I wrote a column about the rating being down, and I'd love to get your take on this, because I thought it was the perfect storm in that you had the New Orleans Saints fans boycotting the game. There was so much Patriots fatigue, people couldn't take them anymore. And then, obviously, the game was unwatchable. And then there were a couple of other things I didn't even think about. The Los Angeles market there. People in L.A. just don't care about the NFL. There were a couple of St. Louis market didn't give a big rating because they're still bitter. The Rams left. It really felt like the perfect storm to get that viewership number under 100 million.
Yeah, Jimmy, I was in Atlanta that week, and I have to tell you, walking around the streets of Atlanta, it seemed to me to be 90% Patriots fans. Like, I didn't see Rams paraphernalia anywhere.
Yeah.
And that to me just suggested that the Rams still have a long way to go to really build out a fan base and a big rabid fan base that's worth the number two media market. Yeah. So like if you compare the LA rating to, say, Philadelphia's the year before, mm-hmm. The other NFC entrant, it was down pretty substantially this year. So I think that the LA market and having the Rams in there hurt much more than I thought it would going in.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do have to say, New Orleans is like one of my favorite cities in the country, and I love them even more now that they said they were going to boycott it, and they followed through with that. I mean, that number coming out of New Orleans, I just thought was great.
Yeah, an actual, like, people following through on a boycott, it's very rare. Let me ask you this question, because this was sent by @JimmyP313, and I ask this all the time, and I think it's a great question, and I wonder it myself often. Are we ever going to find out any of the details of Jamie Horowitz's behavior that led to his firing at Fox? Feels like he's gotten a free pass. Couldn't agree more with this tweeter.
I will say that he came out. What happened with him happened right before Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
And so in terms of timing, it feels in some ways like he got off scot-free. One thing I'll suggest is that, you know, Jamie Horowitz is a consultant now, and he's working with, I think it's been reported that he's doing some stuff with John Skipper over at DAZN, and I think he's doing things in some different areas. If he really wants to get back into the business, my guess is he's going to do a tell-all with a reporter at some point,
right,
that sort of starts to address these. So I think that, you know, his story is something that a lot of reporters have been chasing down. A lot of reporters have a lot of knowledge on. Nobody has anything that's sort of printable on it yet.
Right.
But my guess is that it will be addressed at some point, because he's still a relatively young guy that wants to work in sports TV.
Right. Well, that's what's crazy about it. I've heard many, many, many stories off the record, but no one seems to have the full story no one's written the full story yet.
Yeah, those are hard stories to write. I mean, yep. you have to be right on those, and you have to get corroboration on those. And I do know a lot of people, a lot of my colleagues have been standing out trying to get some stuff. And something's going to break sooner than later, I would guess, on that.
All right. I have a question here about The Sopranos. Were you a Sopranos viewer?
I love The Sopranos.
All right. So we have here, this will be the last one.
I mean, he's dead, right? I mean, I hope that's not the question.
No spoilers. At Mr. Bear 7 asks, what is the most underrated Soprano scene? I'll give you mine, and then you can think about an answer. Mine is when Uncle Junior gets his arm stuck in the sink, and Janice and Richie have to come get the soap to get him out. And that whole scene from start to finish is phenomenal, because Janice asks why he didn't call a plumber. Meanwhile, how's he going to call a plumber? His hand's stuck in the sink. You know, Richie's trying to get him out, and he's telling him to stop flexing. And then Junior's all upset, and Janice wants to know if he's coming to their engagement party, and Junior gives her a dirty look. That is a phenomenal scene from start to finish. Season 2, Uncle Junior, his hand stuck in the sink. John, do you have one?
You know what? I'm on the spot now. I haven't seen it in years. So the one I'm going to bring up is the very first season, and it was the first time I think AJ was on camera.
Right.
And I was, Carmella was there with the priest and in their backyard.
Oh,
and I think
yeah.
Tony was in the scene, and it was just the dialogue in that. And AJ was just so profane. And it was just like, that was one of the ones where I was like, boy, I'm going to love this. I'm going to love this series. Like I forget what the dialogue was.
Oh,
I just remember just being struck by that.
I thought you were too classy to say it, and I'm not, so I'll say it. It was when Livia bails on Sunday dinner, and AJ says to Tony, Carmella, and the priest, so what now, no fucking ZD? That was the line right there, and that got the show started perfectly.
It.
Yeah.
All Welcome right. to AJ, exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, that was the perfect way to wrap this up. I appreciate you coming on, and we covered a lot of topics. I appreciate the information. Eagles and Vikings on Thanksgiving night is a good nugget there from John. And keep up the good work. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Anytime. Thanks, John. Take care. All right, my thanks to John Oran of Sports Business Journal. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. And if you're into sports media, obviously, he does a great job covering all that stuff. Covered a lot of ground there. I should tell you that if you can subscribe to the SA Media Podcast, it helps tremendously if you're not a subscriber. So please subscribe, rate, and review. In the archives, we've got the full story on the Annenberg firing from Andrew Marchand, who broke the story. That was last week's podcast. Steve Carell 2 weeks ago. If you haven't heard that and you're an Office fan, go check out Steve Carell. Bill Walton, who this week ate a lit candle on a cupcake, was on the podcast a few weeks ago. And if you heard him on the SI Media Podcast, you're not surprised he ate a lit candle. If you have not heard him on the Sports Media SI Media Podcast, you should check it out, because makes perfect sense that he would eat a candle. So hit the archives up. Steve Carell, Bill Walton, full story on the NN Verkfire, and got other stuff in there as well. And like I said, my thanks to John Oran. Follow him on Twitter. His Twitter handle is Oran, O-U-R-A-N-D, underscore S-B-J, John Oran from Sports Business Journal. Appreciate him coming on. Appreciate you guys listening. And that wraps up this edition of the SI Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Trana. We'll see you next week. Take care.